You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's our very own Gwen Gold from our promotions, marketing, and sales department. I'm honestly not sure which one, so I named them all. How are you, Limits?
Oh, I'm doing fine, Joe. How are you today?
You don't sound like it.
No?
There's resignation and reservation in your voice, perhaps because Harry Callis put you in a difficult position, didn't he?
Well, I won't deny it or confirm it.
Yes. When I walked in for Crowley and Doran, they were leaving, obviously. That's how it works. They leave, I walk in. The weather thing was replaying on a loop. And Harry,
it was the
Harry,
traffic.
Harry needs to stay back there. Traffic, whatever it is. Traffic, weather. Harry needs to stay back there until you're gone. Does that not make sense?
Yes, there are days that typically Callis is here, sitting here until 10 o'clock, like right on the dot.
And then he reminds you that he has the right to stay there till 10 o'clock.
Correct.
And then he does this.
And then he leaves with about 2.5 minutes before 10 o'clock. So, I mean, I had to go get the reads for you and everything. And I come in here and I see that he's completely gone. He can't just leave his post. The night watchman can't leave until he's relieved.
No, he can't. And I'm very angry at Harry for that. We almost had a complete meltdown. Other than that, Bob is not here. My tongue hurts today. So you're going to hear me not pronounce some words. I don't know what happened.
Is it swollen?
No, there's like a something on the side of it. I don't know if it's thrash. Is that what people get? Something? Foot and mouth disease? I don't know. The right side of my tongue is like it's in a high level of pain right now.
Is it discolored?
I don't know. I haven't looked that closely at it. It just started to happen this morning.
Well, act like you're at the doctor's office. Go, stick your tongue out, and we'll examine you real quick.
There's like a bump or something there. I don't know what happened, but it's painful when I talk, and that's problematic in this line of work. It's like being Justin Fields and not being able to pass that well. It's like being a mechanic who has a little trouble with cars, or perhaps a pizza maker who can do a lot of things well, but has trouble making pizza.
Mm, yeah, right? Might be a significant issue.
Yeah.
Do you ever eat celery or eat an apple, and sometimes like your mouth will feel like tingly or whatever? Like my lips sometimes when I eat like celery, too much celery or too much of an apple will get like... Well, I don't know if shriveled is the right word, but...
Pete Nussbaum was allergic to celery and accidentally had it at a party one night in high school and had to be taken out by paramedics. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Was his experience at the party any better than what happened in that occurrence? Was he okay other than that? Did he have a good time?
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the party?
Yeah, how was it in high school?
He didn't have a good time that night. This is unbelievable. I can't really... Do you hear a little bit different quality to the way I'm saying words or no?
No, I honestly don't.
All right.
It sounds good to me. So you are currently on the right track to being able to have a successful show.
Thank you.
Which is a great way to start.
Bob is going to join us at 11 when it will officially become the Pomp and Joe show. And man, do we have a lot to talk about. I think we need to go with a six-pack because we have so much to talk about. Oh, limitless wonder. There we go. Ron's already on number four. They were talking about him on the morning show and about how he may live till he's 105. And I think he might. He might outlive us all because he has no pressure anymore. And he drinks to excess, but still not too much. And other than that, he just reads, goes to the beach, and walks every day. I'm betting on Ron to live till 100. You?
I don't know about 100. The Florida weather definitely makes it better.
Like, yeah.
So watching TV, they have like promotions now. I think it's a travel. I don't know if it's a travel agency or just somebody who sells a realtor that is trying to sell homes in Florida to people in Pittsburgh. And every time I see the commercial, I think of Ron and I think, what would it be like to live in Florida for a large portion of your life, or at least for 20 plus years or so to try to prolong your life? I feel like it would. I feel like it would make you feel younger, feel healthier.
No doubt.
And it's better than stepping outside and it's 10 degrees in February when Ron gets to go to the beach for his morning walk for an hour and a half.
And the salt water does wonders as well. That has healing agents in it. I'm convinced of that. But we start today, Limits, with Spencer Horwitz. We hardly knew ye. What the hell is going on here?
This
is going
to turn into Lonnie Chisenhall. Remember they signed him and he never played a game? He never played one game.
Spencer Chisenhall, Lonnie Horwitz. What is going on here? The official word is that he had a procedure on his right wrist last week to address chronic symptoms. That kind of begs the question, why would you go out and get a first baseman who's a risk anyway, who's 27 years old and hasn't done much in the majors, who also has a chronic wrist injury? Limits.
My question is, what's up with all the chronic injuries in the infield? Chronic wrist injury for Spencer Horwitz and what some believe to be a chronic back injury for Key Brian Hayes?
Oh, it's a chronic back injury. Yes, yeah. I think one that recurs for years qualifies as chronic. What is going on? How did they do their due diligence on this guy? Can they send him back? I mean, how did he pass a physical?
Like the Mark Williams and Dalton Kinect trade with the Hornets and the Lakers that got shut down?
He's exactly. Yeah. Now I'm being serious. Did they not test his wrists at his physical? He's only a hitter. You know, do you test a pitcher's arm when you acquire him?
Yeah, I mean, isn't that the point of a physical?
I don't know what's going on here. This is very, very strange. Is this for real? Destiny's Child says the Pirates have hired former MLB first baseman Daniel Vogelback as a special assistant to the hitting department.
Yes.
How about that?
How about that?
Donnie Football is going to be all over this. That's his favorite player.
You know, I've never seen Donnie Football and Daniel Vogelback in the same room before.
I'll tell you what, Destiny's Child is... he's throwing things out there left and right. So I guess this raises a couple of questions. Go to the next item, please. Who plays first base? That seems like a reasonable question. Ron Cook's son, Billy. Brian Reynolds, who's not. I would love it if Brian Reynolds played first. Then you would have, let's go around the diamond, shall we? A completely unproven catcher in Joey Bart, or a catcher coming off a horrific arm injury in Andy Rodriguez, a first baseman who either has a chronic wrist injury or has never played first before, a totally unproven second baseman in Nick Gonzalez, a shortstop who's not a shortstop, a third baseman with a chronic back injury, a center fielder who's a shortstop, nobody in right field in Brian Reynolds. Does that about sum it up?
Pretty much.
You encouraged by all of that?
No.
Who would play right? First base.
I would put Henry Davis at first base, and I would give him all of the reps there in spring training. Look, he's not going to be a catcher. They've made it pretty clear that his defense has improved, but not to the point where they want to play him significantly.
Wait, his defense has improved where?
Behind the plate.
Okay, so what does that have to do with first?
Well, it's why I don't feel like they want to play him at catcher because his defense is...
Oh, you're on to Andy.
No,
you're talking Henry?
I'm talking Henry. I would play Henry Davis at first base because even though his defense has improved at catcher, it's clearly not good enough where they don't think he can be better than
Bart. So you want a first baseman who can't play the position or hit?
I want a first baseman who he can transition there, play all of spring training there because Bart's one of their best bats.
I want Spencer Horwitz to play with a cast on. I do.
Yeah.
And I want to see if he can outdo Rowdy Tellez from the first 2 months of last year hitting with a cast.
Like he's a corner out there with a cast or TJ Watt with a club on his fist yes, punching at the football. You want that to work out?
That. His signature move could be every time somebody runs to first, he punches the ball out like A-Rod did that time, remember?
His cast can literally be the outline of a glove and they just throw to the cast and that's how he catches the ball.
This is a disaster. What is happening here? Next item. I don't even know what to say on the Pirates. Not only do they not get anybody, but the nobodies they get have chronic injuries. What am I supposed to say? Next. Well, you already did next. Deion has a report on Pirates moves. Does he not? Do you want to read for the people what Deion wrote this morning? This is rather incredible.
Yeah, so he said, sources, Pirates' main moves are still ahead. So he said the roster...
I sure hope so.
He said the roster won't stay the same, the payroll won't stay the same, and that's because per multiple sources, upon landing in Bradenton on the eve of pitchers and catchers, the Pirates are not done yet, and actually their main move of their astonishingly, even by their standards, underwhelming offseason, they insist, is still to come.
That's a great line.
They insist it's still to come.
So they'll spend $5 million or $5.1 million on somebody? I can't wait to see that. So to recap, either an unproven catcher or one who has one arm, a one-armed first baseman, an unproven second baseman, a shortstop who's not a shortstop, a chronically injured third baseman, a right fielder who's either a guy who's most notable lately for getting in a fantasy football fight or a guy who's older than Clint Barmas, and a center fielder who's a shortstop, and O'Neill and Brian Reynolds. Is that right?
That's pretty accurate. Remember when Edward Cabrera was the name last year that the Pirates were talking about trying to trade for with the Marlins? There was, you know, fake reports and fake trades that were actually coming out
yeah.
that was trying to say that the Pirates are going to acquire Cabrera, the young 25-year-old right-hander, to be in the rotation. And then that ended up not happening for whatever reason. I wonder if they think that they have something in the works like that, that it, unlike last year where it didn't get done, it's going to get done this year, but for an impactful hitter. Where if they gave up Luis Ortiz for Spencer Horwitz, what are they going to have to give up for a right fielder or a shortstop? Because that position also needs filled. Kiner Falefa's a utility guy.
Here's a great headline. Infielder that Toronto Blue Jays traded to Pirates enters camp with chronic injury. That's a great headline. Am I wrong for asking about the physical
No.
and whether this can be rescinded?
Well, I mean, I think we're a little bit past that at this point. It's been, what, a month since the trade?
I know, but if the guy was hiding a chronic injury, I'm not saying he was, but how did this pass through?
How did he pass? Did he get hurt throwing with fans at Pirates Fest in the little area where they have the field?
Did him and Tommy Pham get into fantasy baseball dispute? I don't know. Are they allowed to even play fantasy baseball? Neither one would draft anybody on their own team.
Doesn't sound like this we are family sucks. In that instance if they're fighting against each other. No family yet.
Next. Yeah, I'm not sure about that report. I believe people are telling Day on that. I'll believe when somebody comes in here who's their, quote, main move this offseason. God bless me. We'll get back to that. Without a doubt, we'll get back to that. Off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. We have all kinds of treats today. Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. Jay Caulfield joins me at 11, but we continue with the six-pack. And thank you, Limits, for continually cracking these. I need them.
It's an eight-pack right now.
We got to call out Travis Kelce here. He pulled a full George Pickens. I mean, he quit on a route. He didn't block, all on the same play. Have you seen this video?
No.
This guy deserves to be ripped. It didn't look like he was overly interested in the game right from the start. But there's video of a play when the Chiefs are down 27-0. And Mahomes is obviously under pressure like he was on every single snap. Runs to his right, does some crazy scramble, gets killed at the end of it and fumbles. Kelsey runs, I don't know, like a 10-yard route. This is unbelievable that I still have this frog in my throat 4 months later. Can you believe this? Every morning limits. It's like Spencer Horowitz's chronic arm injury.
4 months later, have you not tried to go to the doctor and get it figured out? Or did
I did. She put me on antibiotics and they made it worse. It was the wrong antibiotics.
Sometimes it does get worse before it gets better.
It didn't get better limits. That was 2.5 months ago.
It's been a long time since it could get better. That's odd. I don't know. Maybe it's just the weather. Do you drink enough water?
No.
That's probably a part of it.
Now I have a sore on my tongue, a frog in my throat, and Bob's not here. So I start the show undermanned, but I'm going to fight through it. So this guy quit on a play. Go watch this. I'll show you during our brief intermission after this segment. He just stands there, and first he seems ticked off, like, what are we doing? He puts his hands up in that, what's going on? In the middle of a play. This is like Key Brian Hayes eating sunflower seeds while a guy's rounding third. You remember that play?
Oh, yeah. Or Rodolfo Castro's phone falling out of his pocket.
Yeah, that's all Kelsey didn't do was call up Taylor Swift during the play. He puts his hands up, and then he just stands there like a baby and watches his own quarterback run right past him, basically.
Yeah,
and
I see
get
the play.
Killed and fumbles, and he just stands there.
He didn't even go after the fumble.
And, you know, if we're going to rip somebody like a Cam Newton, who I thought made a business decision in a Super Bowl against the Broncos when he didn't try to get a fumble late in the game, or George Pickens when he does this, Kelsey should be getting ripped just as badly or worse. I mean, this is incredible stuff. Just blatantly quitting in the middle of a play. What a baby. Next. Listen to this one. From Dallas, a number of fans were kicked out of American Airlines Center Monday night when the Mavericks played the Kings because of this Luka Doncic trade, right? People are going nuts there. Even at the Pitt game last night, at SMU, the general manager and I think one of the owners or the team president, somebody, fans were booing the crap out of them. But limits, you can't kick somebody out of an arena for saying blank, whatever the GM's name is, I forget.
Yeah, Nico Harrison.
Yes, blank Nico Harrison. You just can't. And then there's Mark Cuban down by the floor shouting expletives at fans to sit the blank down. Did you see that?
No, but I did see a video, like a first-person experience from a fan that was kicked out of the American Airlines Center in Dallas. And he basically said, like, he was recording the whole thing when the police were trying to get him out. And he was saying that he didn't say anything wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. He was just kind of sitting there and chanting. And they took him out. Like, Dallas has to be accountable for the actions that they made. And what I mean by that is they just have to sit there and own it. Like, if there's violence that's going on, okay, take him out of the game. There's no room for that. But you made a decision, and you knew it was going to be unpopular. Now you have to live with the ramifications of fans being unhappy. And unless they're committing crimes, you have to just let them be.
Unless they're committing crimes.
Right? I mean, isn't that fair? Like,
I think some of them might be, actually. Listen, man, this would be the equivalent of the Steelers trading, or the Penguins, Steelers trading a 25-year-old Ben, or the Penguins trading Sidney Crosby when he was 25. I mean, this is crazy stuff. This is taking a generational superstar, a guy who will go down, likely, unless he gets really sidetracked here, who's going to go down in the history of basketball, like just below the Michael Jordan, LeBron level, just below that. He's at, or could be at, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson. He could be one of the greatest players who ever laced up sneakers at age 25.
No doubt.
This is nuts. And how the Mavericks expected to sort of, like, what did they expect here? They even seem taken off guard, but you can't kick somebody out of an arena for swearing and saying the GM's name. You just can't. And Mark Cuban needs to take a seat. I'm sorry. He needs to just take a seat.
I think Mark Cuban's anger is with himself that
he doesn't even run the show there anymore.
That's why. He sold the majority stake in the team, and now he's seeing a franchise that he built. He drafted Luka, not maybe to him specifically, but when he was the owner, they drafted Luka. he sells off a majority stake. He's no longer in main control. And all this happens, he's probably frustrated with himself that he gave up the ship.
Anyone who's watched Luka at any point has to say to themselves, might this guy be a top five player who ever lived by the time he's done? Like, that's a very legitimate question. Imagine the reaction here if the Penguins had traded Sidney Crosby at age 25 for a 31-year-old guy who's a great player in Anthony Davis, but still, he ain't Luka. It's a hell of a story to keep monitoring. Next. I'm reluctant to even mention this, the same way I was when the Pirates acquired Adam Frazier and Tommy Pham. I honestly didn't want him. I didn't at first. It's so non-newsworthy, and it's so annoying that my inclination is to not even mention it. But here we go with the Steelers, and their big change so far is apparently, other than their linebackers coach, and it was hard to tell whether he left of his own volition or not, they've made a change in the secondary limits with their secondary coaches. They've hired Gerald Alexander, who was the Las Vegas Raiders safeties coach last season. And away goes Grady Brown, whose contract was not renewed. Plan the parade?
At least for the secondary, yeah. Maybe turn into the Legion of Boom next year.
That's all I'm going to say about it. You know, it's the defense is run by Mike Tomlin. It's his defense. If there were communication issues in the back seven, are these guys the scapegoats for that? It's on him. It's on the defensive coordinator, which is the head coach. So that's it. That's all I want to say about that. Do you have anything to say about this?
No, not really. At least from some people that I talked to around the team, just mainly Nick Faribault tweets too and seeing what he said. Seems like Grady Brown was pretty well-liked from some of the players and was an up-and-coming guy, one of the younger coaches. But
everybody's well-liked. Everybody likes everybody over there. I don't care.
At least they didn't think
everybody
he was...
Everybody likes Omar Khan. Everybody likes Andy Weidel. Everybody likes Mike Tomlin. Everybody likes Art Rooney. Everybody likes each other. It's a wonderful locker room, and the morale is high, and the culture is great, and we're doing okay. And why doesn't anybody notice? Why don't we get credit? We've had some success around here, you know. I'm done with that.
Maybe they're playing Everyone Loves Raymond on the TVs on loop.
They might be.
Everyone sharing love and kindness.
Love and kindness. Next. All right, limits the Myles Garrett sweepstakes. First of all, we both agree that they are going to trade Myles Garrett because he's not going to have it any other way, correct? No matter what the Browns say?
Correct. He's made enough money where he could just hold out from Cleveland.
I mean, he's as good as gone. Now, here are the landing spots. You ready? At least the ones that people are mentioning right now. You tell me if you're Miles, if you would go here. Obviously, every team should have interest, right? I'm not even going to ask you that side of it. The Buffalo Bills should certainly be interested. You tell me if you're Miles, if this would be a great move for you. The Detroit Lions.
Yes, by far.
Can you imagine him with Aiden Hutchinson?
The best pass rushing duo in football.
History. The best pass rushing duo in football history. They have more than $45 million in projected cap space, so they're in position to make the move. That would be insane.
How do they have that much cap space?
I don't know.
They're paying Jared Goff like a fair amount of money. It's not Mahomes or Trevor Lawrence or what some of these outlandish contracts have become. They're also not paying Gibbs or Laporta, and Montgomery's on a team-friendly deal. I think they just paid St. Brown. So their offensive line, they paid a decent amount of money to, but they've done a good job of manipulating the cap and have a lot of young players that haven't been paid yet.
Washington Commanders. I'd love to go there, too.
Yes, they got a star.
To win. You got $78 million in salary cap space. Why wouldn't you go there? The L.A. Chargers. Heck yeah. Why wouldn't you go there? Chance to win. You got pretty much a lot of things in place to win.
Other than it being L.A., I actually say no, because Matthew Stafford's future doesn't look very promising right now, and they're trading Cooper Kupp.
Oh, the L.A. Chargers. Did I say Rams?
Yeah. I took it as
that's okay. Chargers.
Rams. Chargers, yes. Chargers, I would definitely do that with Herbert.
49ers have $48 million in cap space, top 10 in the NFL. Javon Hargrave's deal was restructured, which was maybe, from what I'm reading here, seen as a sort of a precursor to his release. So you have the space. You still, I think, have a hell of a team. That's also a great option.
See, I personally don't think so.
What?
I would not go to San Francisco because if I'm Myles Garrett, I want to play for a very good franchise quarterback. I want to play with him on the opposite side. And I don't know if they view Brock Purdy that way. It seems like they're going to sign him. But with Debo Samuel now likely out, Brandon Ayuk coming off an ACL, their defense is getting older. If I'm Myles Garrett, there are better options than going to San Francisco because I don't think the window is entirely closed. Because it's starting to close shut. It's getting there.
All right. How about the Buffalo Bills? Oh, limitless wonder.
That would be my number one option if I was Myles Garrett. Von Miller maybe is not going to come back. That defense needs help. Plus, you have Josh Allen. Eventually, he's going to break through.
Now, Garrett himself told TMZ he doesn't mind playing in the snow.
Well,
I like that little clip, don't you?
Buffalo's no shy of snow.
Josh Allen and Garrett, according to Sporting News here, were seen hugging and talking at the NFL Awards last week. I like that. Deion Dawkins flat out said he wants Garrett to come to Buffalo so they can chase a Super Bowl together. That could be very interesting. What about your Pittsburgh Steelers?
Do you think Myles Garrett joined Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson on the beach in Cancun?
Don't you bring that up.
I know.
You had your own snafu yesterday, didn't you?
After I got caught by fake Adam Schefter, thanks to the DeAndre Hopkins report. I don't think the Steelers would do it, no. Would Myles want to play here?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Throwing it out there because if some of these other teams can do it, like the Lions, and the Steelers have cap space, it's just an idea.
Well, considering his affinity for TJ Watt, I doubt it.
Yeah, I don't think it would happen. Of course it wouldn't happen. But if you can pair him with Aiden Hutchinson, can you imagine Myles Garrett around here? Then you could trade some other people. Wow. No, of course that wouldn't happen.
It's like when Aroldis Chapman joined the Pirates and made up with Andrew McCutcheon. Could you imagine if we had a reunion with Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph and they became not enemies but acquaintances?
You'd have to bring back Rudolph. So he's in a great position. I mean, a great position. He can go to a team that can win in a destination that he wants, and that's exactly what he's going to get. Next. How about this, oh, limitless wonder? Bobby Slowick is the Dolphins' new pass game coordinator. Donnie Football was on last night saying this isn't specific to Slowick himself, but why don't the Steelers ever do this? Like, Brian Flores seems like the exception. Do they never do this? Do the Steelers bring in consultants? Didn't they have an old guy as the offensive consultant in recent years? Plus, they brought in Flores. But yes, I would have liked to have actually seen Slowick himself come in here and help out the pass game. You?
No doubt. No doubt I would have liked to have seen Slowick, who has a lot of ties here, be a part of this offense after, I mean, it was a disaster at times with Houston last year, but C.J. Stroud's rookie year is the reason why it looks so good. And I think Slowick was a part of that. And he delivers, I think, such a good passing attack with Houston and what they dialed up, where Arthur Smith is really dialed in on the running game. It could have been a good yin-yang complement to each other to put together a balanced offense, I think.
Next. Did you see Deshaun? This is becoming an 8-pack, by the way. Did you see Deshaun Elliott on Instagram react to the idea of Aaron Rodgers coming to Pittsburgh?
I did, and it wasn't very friendly.
And I quote, "Leave his ass at the retirement home," end of quote. Limits, what do you think becomes of this, and what do you make of Deshaun Elliott, who has proven to be rather outspoken in his Steeler career?
Yeah, him and Cordero Patterson. Remember when Cordero was trying to get DeAndre Hopkins here, another big wide receivers here, and commenting on posts?
Did you see, by the way, that Cordero Patterson was shoveling snow at one point, I think at the playoff game in Baltimore, and said, I might as well do this if they're not going to use me?
Yes.
Did you see that? Why didn't we ever talk about that?
He was waiting for his pitch out in the fourth quarter in that game against Baltimore. He never got it. It was almost, that's the time that Cordero comes in, the fourth quarter.
Who is this guy to start piping up? Cordero Patterson.
He makes his feelings known, and he's under contract for another year. They'll probably release him, but...
How surprised would you be if the Steelers made a pitch for Rodgers?
Not as surprised if I would have been about a month ago. I think that this could be gaining a little bit of steam and momentum, more so because it seems like the flirt mance that they have with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields has reached a stale point where Russell Wilson wants to come back, but the other side isn't very interested. And I think they want Justin Fields, but is Justin Fields very interested at this point?
I don't know if they want Justin Fields. And if I'm Justin Fields, I'm thinking I went 4-2 this year. They're still flirting with Russell Wilson. Do they want me back here? And if I have better options, I'll just go elsewhere. I'm sorry, but if you're Justin Fields, I don't care what the circumstances were surrounding it. They benched you. This team benched you, and the head coach told everybody in the world Justin Fields was pretty good, not to be confused with great. And now they've hardly made it their priority to go after him aggressively, at least from everything we see and hear. So if I'm him, I'm probably headed elsewhere, or at least checking it out. Would somebody else be really willing to, you know, put me in pole position here and give me the job? Because I'm not sure about these guys. They've already shown they'll bench me. It seems very uncertain. I mean, what did the owner say the other day or last week when he was talking to everybody? He really didn't make it sound like he loves either option, did he? He said, we've had conversations with both, meaning Wilson and Fields, and both have said they'd like to come back. So that's a good start. Both are capable quarterbacks. My preference would be to sign one of them. And then he said this, Rooney did. We've got a whole quarterback room to fill, and so there's jobs open in there. I wouldn't be surprised if we look in the draft as well, either this year or next. If you're Justin Fields, are you sitting there thinking, man, that sounds great. I think they love me here. I'm going to stay.
To me, it sounds like they sure love Skylar Thompson because he's the only one under contract right now.
I forgot to add a good Skylar Thompson line in my column today, Limits. You just depressed me.
I'm sorry.
Have said they'd like to come back, so... That's a good start.
I'd like to be a Steelers quarterback. Can I come play there? I mean, is that a prerequisite? Or is that a qualification to play quarterback there? I'd like to be your quarterback. Okay, we'll give you a shot.
Well, you used to be a Penguins beat writer, and their head coach is Mike Sullivan, and Mike Sullivan is on the Steelers coaching staff, so maybe you can get a connection there and be the quarterback.
It could work out that way. Yes, it could. One more before we go. Thank you, Limits. Brian Batko. With the Post-Gazette staff predictions from before the season, the time capsule has been opened. And I was one of three people who had the Steelers record exactly correct. Are you proud of me?
Congratulations.
Some other things I'm not so proud of. I had the Steelers MVP as Russell Wilson before the season.
Mm.
Not terrible. For a while, it looked like I was a genius, right?
For half the time Russell Wilson played, yeah.
The Steelers breakout player I had is Keanu Benton. That wasn't good, was it?
No, not as good as the rookie of the year pick that I made in Roman Wilson.
That was actually, he's turning into another Lonnie Chisenhall. The NFL MVP I had as Jordan Love, which I'm ashamed of. Coach of the year, I can't remember who I had. First coach fired was Brian Daboll. I'm going to do that again next year. And my defensive player of the year was Kyle Hamilton. I'm rather proud of that.
Good pick.
Not bad, right?
No, I mean, he had a really good season.
Everybody else had an edge rusher. Patrick Surtain, I mean, nobody saw that coming, did they?
No, not at the corner spot. I mean, who's the last corner to win Defensive Player of the Year? Revis before Surtain?
I don't know. Conference champions, myself and Ray Fittipaldo were the only ones who had the Chiefs getting back to the Super Bowl. You proud of me there?
I'll give you a little pat on the back. Nobody wanted to see it.
I know. And I had them playing the Lions, unfortunately. Nobody on staff had the Eagles getting or winning the Super Bowl, getting to or winning the Super Bowl. Did you?
No, I had the Lions against the Bengals. And the Lions
winning.
I don't
blame you for that. What's your Super Bowl pick right now for next year?
Lions, Bills.
Wrong. Bills, Eagles.
The Eagles are going to go back.
You seen their roster?
Yeah, but is this the start of a new dynasty like Kansas City?
I don't know, man. They're going to be very hard to beat. Look at this, Limits. We have a rare treat. Mr. Bob Pompeiani at 10:45.
In the
House. 15 minutes earlier than I thought I might be here.
How are you, Bob?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. You missed our 8-pack.
Wait a minute.
We went over.
Do we have a sale on an 8-pack?
Yeah,
how much does an 8-pack
cost
these
days? We had a couple of extras.
Days?
Ron sent us an 8-pack from Florida. We're doing well. We went over everything from Spencer Horwitz and this mysterious injury to Travis Kelce quitting on a play to the market for Myles Garrett. And now we land here, Bob, and I'm glad that you've joined us. We're going to get back to Pirate stuff. Did Ben Cherington speak this morning?
Yes. I am combing through it right now to let you know the update. They just got done talking with him with the media.
Are they going to make an adjustment now that Horwitz has an injury? Are they going to do something? Did he say maybe? We'll find out. If you're just listening to it, Austin, I want to put you under that pressure real quick. But
I do want to put him under that pressure, Bob. And the best quotes will come out shortly here. I expect to have... Is somebody there for us?
Not that I'm aware of.
But the quotes will become available at some point, I hope.
Correct. Yes.
Yes. All right. So let us know what Cherington says about all these things. Bob, why don't we get your opinion right away on that? They brought in a guy with a chronic wrist injury?
And they had to have known of it, right? I mean, because it's chronic. It's
how did he pass the physical?
I don't know. Apparently, I don't know. That's a good question. Is that part of your physical? Everything? Your wrist? Your thumb? Because apparently it was some sort of thumb part of his...
I mean, for a hitter, if I could examine one thing on his whole body, it would be his wrist.
Yeah. I don't know.
What is going on, Bob?
All I know is that, I guess, the positive thing, it's... something that's now, which will take him into April. He may be ready to go by April, but if he's not, or if it's a complicated issue that, you know, some of these things can linger and they become problems, like Brian Hayes' back. It's chronic too, and every now and then it pops off and you don't see him for a month. So, I mean, for a guy who was brought here, and if you're going to give up Luis Ortiz, you would expect that guy to be somebody who could be plugged in and play right now, because that's what Ortiz was.
Or at least have use of both arms.
Yes.
So right now, as I mentioned in the opening, you're looking at a catcher likely who's never played a full season in the majors, a first baseman with one arm, a second baseman who has yet to prove himself and is everyday player, a shortstop who's not a shortstop, a third baseman with a chronic back injury, a center fielder who's a shortstop, and your choice of right fielders, one of them most known recently for getting in a physical altercation over fantasy football, and the other one is older than Clint Barmas. Other than that, Bob, plan the parade, yes?
Yeah, and you would think with all these ifs that you have just described, Joe, that why wouldn't Henry Davis factor in any of this and never hear his name?
Because he stinks.
All right. I would rather try him to work, you know. Are you just going to give up at this point on him? I mean, he's a number one pick. I would try him whatever I can do at first base.
Has he played first in the minors?
He's a catcher. I bet you he can handle it.
Yeah, I don't.
I mean,
if that was your plan, wouldn't you have had him play first base all offseason?
I don't know. All I know is that they got to figure out something with him.
Okay, then their first baseman is a guy who can't field or hit.
Okay. They have a DH who's how old is Kutch these days? You don't think there's a role maybe for that?
There should have been. I mean, honestly, I wouldn't have brought back McCutcheon. He's 38 years old.
That was the biggest signing they made in the offseason. Yes. It's the same signing they've made for three straight years.
Tell Bob what Dayon reported today. Limits. I'll paraphrase it for you, Bob. He said he's hearing the main move is yet to come for the Pirates. Do you believe that?
what could it be? I mean, there's nobody left out there that there would be.
Maybe they can get a guy who only has use of one leg, and then they'll have everything.
Anthony Rizzo is still a possibility.
Back injuries, arm injuries, leg injuries.
Yeah, I don't know.
Physical injuries from fantasy football fights. What is happening?
Well, I know the rest of the division has taken steps forward by acquisitions, by also bringing in like Terry Francona to manage the Reds. They have a lot of teams that have, I think, had a good offseason. Pirates aren't one of them. So now they got to figure out what to do. I would wish that they would just give Henry Davis something to work on and just see what he can do. You can't just waste that pick. One overall, that's the biggest problem with them right now, is drafting hitters. They don't have any hitters. They've done a good job with pitchers, but they have no hitters.
Ron Cook's son, Billy? You think he could
Billy
play this
Cook,
year?
Well, he showed me that when he came up here, he was, you know, whatever. He had a good minor league season, if I recall, right, didn't he?
They all have good minor league seasons, even Henry Davis.
Then trust them a little bit. I mean, unless you think they're going to compete for something, I don't. I would want to find out what I got out of all these guys. But it's a shame because they're wasting another year of Paul Skeens and Jared Jones and anyone else who fits into that category. That's the crime of this whole thing.
I want to see every player on the field have a chronic injury. So you go with Rodriguez at catcher, who has one arm. You go with a chronically injured first baseman, a chronically injured third baseman, find an injured right fielder. Could you put an all-injured team out there, Bob?
Is it like golf? You get a handicap and you would use it to your advantage? Say, okay, we come in here with a 13. You guys are a 2. You got to give us 11 runs.
You start every at-bat with a 2-0 count limits. Would you like to see that?
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Make it a lot easier to not strike out.
Bob, that's a tremendous idea. They should petition Major League Baseball. If every player on our team does not have use of at least one of his extremities, do we start with a 2-0 count?
Or you could do it this way. Measure it by salary revenue.
Right.
Okay, you're playing the Dodgers. They have $350 million. You have $80 million. Therefore, you're going to start every at-bat with a 2-0 count. Let's see what you do.
If you combine them, like Horwitz, use of only one arm, plus he's not making anything, he starts on base. He just goes to first base.
Goes to first base, yeah.
You're like it's extra innings, right?
Then he'll get picked off. And then...
oh, boy. I don't know what to make of all that, Bob. But
I just know that they... I think they wasted another season of... You may have a Cy Young Award winner on a team that doesn't end up in any place but last. Cy Young winners normally have your team in contention. I don't remember. You'd have to find this, or maybe I could look in the break. How many teams have had a Cy Young winner finish in last place?
Good question.
Because he's a favorite right now at age 22 to be the Cy Young winner.
I'm going to look that up now, Bob.
That's a distinct possibility, and that's sad, and it kind of strikes to what this offseason has been about, which has been nothing really. If there's a big move to be made, as you say, I wonder what that would be. It would have to be a trade. It can't be a signing. There's no one really out there to sign who would constitute the label big.
Right. So we've moved on to this, Bob, or actually we haven't, but we will now very briefly before we get to the general. I think Pitt should stop canceling trips to SMU for their football and basketball teams. The football team imploded there, and so did the basketball team. And the bigger question now, and I was tinkering with this morning a little bit, Alan Green is in here as the AD. Does he have any power to fire? If he saw fit, and I'm not saying, we can't yet pronounce the basketball season a failure, but when you've lost 8 of 10 and look like they do, we're getting close. Pat Narduzzi coming off a couple of lousy seasons. All I'm saying is if Alan Green wanted to move on from either anytime soon, could he? Given the fact that Pitt is under all kinds of financial pressure these days with Victory Heights and NIL and the fact that these two guys are signed up through 2030.
And that's the problem.
Is he just stuck with them even if he doesn't want them? That's my question.
I think it's sort of like the Neil Brown situation happened in West Virginia. I think they would have gotten rid of him earlier, but they waited another year to trim down the buyout. They may be in that same position because if you talk about buyout money, you're talking about significant millions of dollars that they need for other needs. So I don't know if he can do it, if he should do it. I don't know how much it costs, how much it would affect their NIL, because I think it comes from the same pot, to be honest. I don't think Pitt has the kind of coffers necessary to get guys to keep buying for things.
Right.
Somebody's got to pay the buyout. Who pays it? Does it come from, do you go to the chancellor and say, hey, what extra money do you have? Because I want to get rid of a coach.
I mean, I don't think they're in a position to pay.
That's the problem with long-term contract. In both cases, yeah. I don't think there was a need to extend.
I agree.
And they extended
both. I didn't agree at one point, but the fact that Narduzzi has faltered like he has makes me rethink that position and say I was wrong.
Right. And that's, to me, that's just a choice. You don't have to do it anymore. It always used to be, they said, well, we have to do this to show stability and that we could recruit players because your coach is going to be here for the next 4 years and you will have him. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. Neither should these long-term contracts.
Chris Carter over at the Post-Gazette told me in an email today that it's his opinion that it's the contracts for both are probably too high for Pitt to consider buyouts, or the buyouts are too high until after the end of their 2027 seasons at best.
That's what they did with Neil Brown. They pushed it down the road and to make the buyout less.
So what kind of power does the new AD have? And he's the one who was on our station Saturday saying the front porch here is basketball and football. Those are our two front porch programs. You know, those are the ones
they
we
carry
gotta
the
get
rest
right
of them.
Here.
Right. That's all. That's the biggest revenue opportunity you have with those two.
I just wonder if he, even if he wanted to, if he couldn't. And then what of the basketball team right now, Bob?
Yeah, I watched that game. I knew that
they got pounded.
Yeah, in the inside part of their game. Now they also just were so sloppy. Turnovers and points off turnovers, SMU, which is not a team that normally would capitalize on that, but they were, it was easy to do because Pitt was making such egregiously bad turnovers. They're just in a funk right now. They're not getting consistent. You know, it's supposed to be a guard team. Those guards are supposed to hit shots late in games. Lately, they haven't. Early in games, they've turned the ball over. You dig holes. They haven't had a halftime lead in, I think, 7 or 8 straight games. This is not a team that can come back. No. I saw the game against Clemson in person there, and I thought they were. That's a good team, and they took it to overtime after they were down by double digits. That's the only time they've come back and forced the issue.
What is with all the collapses in Pittsburgh sports? You go back to the Penguins last year around the trade deadline, collapsed. You go back to the Pirates. Would they have a 12-game losing streak, 10 in August?
Right.
Collapsed.
At the worst time of the year, yeah.
Pitt football collapsed completely.
7-0 to 7-6.
The Steelers completely collapsed with a 5-game losing streak, and now Pitt basketball. What has happened here, Bob? Makes me very sad.
It's just, I guess, the cyclical nature of sports in many ways, but it's also something that you could stop by making smart moves. And if you don't make the smart moves, then you're going to be stuck again. And it has to, at some point, it's going to change for the better, you hope. But what will trigger that change? I think, you know, the Penguins, you bring them up. They're in a situation now where I don't know if they can dig out from this mess. It's hard to dig out when you've, you know, you only have 30-some games
left.
For
them, I would dig further down as a way to then get back up.
Well, they could do that.
And Raquel,
because they're in a position.
Raquel, for me, is the trigger point here, where if he moves him, I'll start to get on the Dubas bandwagon. But right now, you're still falsely trying to walk that line between contender and rebuilder.
But they've shown a decision based on this, some of these trades they've made, that they're leaning toward rebuild.
I would lean harder into that.
But they're not going to lean as hard as you want, and therein lies the problem then.
Yes.
Because now what are you going to do with Raquel in the offseason? Some say you'll get more. I don't think so. I think Raquel's more valuable now to a team that thinks it can win.
Raquel,
given where he is and the seasons he's had, you're not going to – how about if he fades down the stretch?
Raquel had an off year before you got him. He had an off year the year after you got him. And right now, at his age, he is at the height of his selling power.
No doubt.
And I would do it right now. There's no guarantee he'll stay healthy to the end of the year. Do it while you have the opportunity to recoup a first-round pick and maybe something else. Maybe a nice little prospect, Bob. Let's bring on the general. Listen to this show every Wednesday. I'm having a tongue problem, Bob, today. I mentioned at the top.
We all have those once in a while.
There's some sort of sore or lesion on the right side of my tongue.
Have you ever bitten the inside of your tongue and or cheek?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm on blood thinners. Those are the worst because then it doesn't stop bleeding. You got to keep.
I might have bitten it while I was sleeping. I don't know. But every syllable I say, there's pain limits.
Every syllable and half syllable.
I'm fighting through this. Bob, I saw the Bob Dylan movie again yesterday by myself. And the second time around, it was unbelievable. I loved it. I loved every second of it. The music, the energy with the music, the acting. Edward Norton, low-key as Pete Seeger, should win an Academy Award.
I've heard that from somebody else, so I'm anxious to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Let's go together, Bob. My treat.
Okay, we're going to bring the popcorn that you can, you know, with all the butter on it.
I ate a whole thing of popcorn by myself. I went at 4 o'clock yesterday. There were two other people in the theater over at the Galleria.
Yeah, in the afternoon, it's just festival seating.
Great.
There's nobody in there, which is great. Yeah.
And they didn't stay till the end, and they played two songs at the end of, what's the actor's name? Charlemagne? What's his name?
Sounds about right. I've heard about him as an actor. I don't know if he was in it.
Nobody stayed, Bob. I got up from my seat. There's nobody in the theater. That's the way to do it, isn't it?
Absolutely. I would rather have that than a full theater.
Do you go out and eat by yourself and go to movies by yourself? I do.
By myself, no.
Yeah.
I won't do that unless I'm on the road, you know, when we used to cover stuff on a regular basis. I would, I don't mind that.
And I don't even
But
like
I don't choose to do it while I'm here.
I don't even like the company, but I do it anyway. I just go out by myself.
Well,
do you
see
go
it
out
more
to eat by
more,
yourself?
No. I like being in the company of others.
This phone, right here has made it more available for people because they can just go on here and start scrolling around. when you didn't have that,
people annoy
what would
me,
you do
Bob.
Sitting at your table by yourself, let's say for an hour, with
bring
nothing?
A book, bring the okay, new, remember when
concept.
We used to read newspapers?
I guess it would be the same concept.
Yeah,
as
same
this.
Concept.
But if you didn't have a book, you just sit there and chew.
People annoy me, even my friends and family. It's just at the very least, I won't be annoyed with anyone eating by myself.
What annoys you while you eat?
Everything. Everything
you
about
don't like
everybody.
People chew?
Yeah, I'm easily annoyed. And then going to a movie by myself, I was just in heaven at this place. A big fat thing of popcorn, sitting three rows back. Felt like I was watching live concerts from the 1960s. There's nobody in the place, Bob. Yeah. What's better?
No, that's awesome. I would rather go by myself to a movie theater than to sit in a table in a restaurant by myself.
I've gone on golf trips with myself.
I know you have. That's also difficult to do, and it doesn't make it easier to try to convince people when you have a hole-in-one that you actually had a hole-in-one. You need witnesses.
That's true. That is actually true.
But I believe you because I know how serious you are about this, and you wouldn't just make up the story. Plus, you described your shot as not a very good shot, but
no,
it went
it was
in
off
the hole.
The heel.
You
yeah.
could have embellished that and said, it's a beautiful apex. I hit an 8-iron 170 yards.
I could have, right.
Spun back into the hole. No, you didn't do that.
I'm very cranky in the mornings. I get hangry in the afternoon. I'm terrible company, Bob. And so I'd just rather be by myself. Honestly.
Is that an indication for me to leave right now? I should leave. You were better off before when I didn't come here. So
it's easier on me and everybody else. Let's go quickly to the general. I'm sorry I made you wait, General. That was very rude of me. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week. From the Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. I'm going to guess Jalen Hurts, Bob. How about you for the
I'm going to go
week?
Cooper DeJean.
Ooh. Limits?
I'll go Josh Sweat.
What do we got, General?
Gentlemen, how are you? Thanks for having me. We're making up for somebody who should have been in the past. We're going with Saquon Barkley. Made Jalen Hurts' job a little easier this weekend. We had Hurts last week. I didn't want to repeat for a Philadelphia guy.
You could have gone Cooper DeJean.
We could have. His cards aren't valuable enough yet, Pump. We want to give the best to the listeners for Starkey's Card of the Week. But I am throwing something else in. I came into this all fired up because pitchers and catchers report. Now I'm depressed.
After the last 10 minutes. It's not like Joe.
But I will say this. Today is Christmas for baseball cards. 2025 Tops baseball cards dropped today. So I'm going to throw a box of cards in this week for the lucky listener that wins. Beautiful. So we got a box of Tops cards, 2025s, and we also have a Saquon Barkley rookie.
So, Topps 2025, give me some names in that group.
Yeah.
Well, Skeens will have a card.
Right, yeah.
Truthfully, this is the difference, right? It's not the greatest product of the year. It's the most looked after. Like, when we were kids, you waited for Topps because that's all there was. So, this is the flagship product that's been around since 1952. And every single year, this is the one people wait for. I guess it's symbolic of baseball getting ready to start, hopefully the snow being ready to be lifted, and Spencer Horowitz being able to bat.
Generally, you're one of the four nicest men who have ever lived in Pittsburgh sports, right up there with Hines Ward, Jerry DePaula, and Jeff Hathorn. Thank you, sir.
Well, we got one more thing to announce.
Oh.
We have some tickets available at Baseball Card Castle for the fans' 15th anniversary party.
Ooh.
Stop in and
you have a rookie. You have a rookie Joe Starkey card.
That's exactly right.
He has a rookie Ron Cook card from 1843.
Wow,
Bob.
That goes back.
1971 was Ron's rookie. I do have a few of those around here.
Oh,
stop in and mention the card, and we'll give you some tickets to the 15th anniversary gala.
You took the words right out of my mouth, and that is exactly that. Go up to the counter at the Baseball Card Castle. As I've said many times, it's like walking right back into your childhood. Like you'll be in a happy place when you walk in there. And get some free tickets to the Fanniversary. I think it's going to be great, General. We appreciate it, man.
No problem.
All right,
thanks,
General. Have a good day.
You guys have a good week.
See you, buddy. Bob, I'm assuming you're going to be involved in the Fanniversary. I think it's going to be fun. We're going to get Ron and Vinny on the line. My opinion is we should try to get some of the older combos together and do a mini segment for each of them, like a normal talk radio segment, like Vinny and Ron.
With today's topics?
What did you think of, Ichiro not getting one vote for the Hall of Fame? The one voter didn't vote him in. Anything. Myself and Seibel for a segment? Would that be unbelievable?
That would be good. Can you guys coexist?
No. Who did you work with other than me? Pony on a podcast?
I did that for a little bit. Then most just my own show on Saturday. That was pretty much it. So I never was teamed together, although I was with you and Ron as a Monday day. That was it. So